The show is live and local. It's your connection to local performance. And on today's program, I'll be talking with another of the candidates for music director at the Illinois Symphony Orchestra. He's the third such candidate we've talked to so far who has led the orchestra so far during the course of this season. His name is Alistair Willis, and that conversation coming up in just a few minutes. Then later on, talking with Barbara Zachow, who conducts the Parkland Chamber Singers at Parkland College. They're giving a concert combined with the chancel ringers of First United Methodist Church, the handbell choir there. Concert's going to be Saturday night at the Parkland Theater. And more on that later on in the program. It's live and local. Stay with us. We heard some of the music from George Frideric Handel's Water Music, Suite Number 2, a performance here that was led by John Elliott Gardner. You can hear this suite performed in its entirety in a performance by the Illinois Chamber Orchestra conducted by Alistair Willis, who is guest conducting this series of concerts this weekend. It's actually his second series. He just was there a couple of weeks ago doing the big orchestra, so to speak. He's one of the candidates for music director of the orchestra, and so far we've spoken with two of the other candidates and pleased to have him on the line with us right now. Thanks very much for joining us.
Great to be here, Kevin.
So you've got a nice little resume, to say the least. I noted that on your website, one of the best things a conductor can be able to say is that he was re-invited to come back and lead people like the Chicago Symphony, the Philadelphia Orchestra, because I think there's plenty of conductors who get invited once and then don't get re-invited. But you're being re-invited, so congratulations. And what does it take to get the re-invitation in your experience?
Well, thank you for that. Yeah, it's always an honor to go somewhere for the first time and to be liked, to do a good job, in so much that they will invite you to come back the next season or the season after that. That is a great honor, and I kind of learned in my early days as an assistant conductor. I was in Cincinnati. That was my first job as assistant conductor, and I spent as much time as I could with every conductor that came through as guest conducting. And I remember chatting with one of the guest conductors who said, you know, the key to guest conducting is not to give the performance of a lifetime. The key to guest conducting is to get re-invited. And I was quite young at the time, and I was, wow, this is great advice. And then I took a breath and realized I had to ask another question, and the question was, how do you get re-invited? And he went on to give me some wonderful advice, which I've never forgotten. And this advice comes from basically can be summed up as being musical, being prepared, doing all the things that you would normally do for any concert. But it's a question of really recognizing that you're a guest. Being a music director is something completely different, where you need to be firm, you need to be strong to a point further than as a guest conductor. And if you have done your job as a guest conductor, you've encouraged the orchestra to sound as best as they can, but you haven't pushed too hard or twisted too many knobs too hard or offended anyone. And because an orchestra wants to have fun with a guest conductor, really, they have to work harder for the music director who can hire and fire and be as tough as he or she wants to be. But as a guest conductor, the idea is really just to put the music first as much you can and have a good time with still being firm, but not too firm. And this advice, and many other parts of the advice, has stood me well over the years.
Here, I almost thought you were going to say it was one of those sort of circular arguments. The object isn't to give the performance of a lifetime, but to get reinvited. And then you ask, how did you get reinvited? And the answer was going to be, give a performance of the lifetime, but apparently not.
Well, no, but I mean, but now we have to define what give a performance of a lifetime is. And let's say you're a music director of an orchestra and you work for a few seasons towards performing a great Mahler symphony. Let's say you would plan for that over seasons to prepare the orchestra by increasing the difficulty of the music, for example, and you have a long-term vision, and it takes years to work towards wanting to give this particular performance of a lifetime. Whereas as a guest conductor, you've got four rehearsals and a few concerts. You're in on a Monday, you're out on a Sunday, and that's it. So it's hard. You have to be realistic with your expectations and yet act and conduct to your highest standards at all times.
I've heard musicians say that they, in a high-level professional orchestra, that they'll sometimes evaluate a guest conductor within minutes, if not less, if not seconds, of their stepping up on the podium.
Sometimes before they even step on the podium, yeah.
Yeah. What do you think they're assessing when that happens? I mean, what's leaked back to you as somebody who has been reinvited?
I think musicians, they're all looking for something different, so it depends who you ask. I might not be the best person to ask that question. But in general, the musicians would agree, I guess, that they're looking for a leader, looking for someone who can lead them through the repertoire, who's prepared, who's musical, who's respectful. And you can tell these things pretty much with how the person dresses before he or she's even gotten to the podium sometimes. And because these things can translate visually before one's even said a word.
When you had your first invitation to the Chicago Symphony, just as a fairly nearby example, did you know how they came to invite you? Who had seen you and how you got that invitation?
I seem to recall that I was invited thanks to Henry Fogel, who was at the time the president or executive director of the Chicago Symphony. And he had seen me conduct in the National Conductor Preview, which that year was held in, I think, Salt Lake City with the Utah Symphony. And we were five or six handpicked conductors to be part of a showcase for artistic administrators and executive directors who were on another sort of meeting that weekend. And I was told that I stood out, and Mr. Fogel seemed to think so, and invited me to conduct an education family concert with the Chicago Symphony. And of course, I was so excited. I don't remember how I walked to the podium or what I first said, but I also heard at a later date that one of the reasons that there was a vacancy for that concert in the first place was because their, at the time, resident associate conductor, his wife was having a baby that week. So it was a wonderful timing for me on many levels.
What we'll talk about, I mean, I know, so you don't remember how you walked to the podium or maybe even what you wore, what you said the first time, but what was your experience like with an orchestra, you know, with that particular orchestra? How did you decide, if you remember that part, to conduct yourself? What was going through your mind with that experience?
Well, my first time in front of the Chicago Symphony, I'll never forget it. I remember many things that were going through my mind, but not exactly what I wore or if I walked a particular way towards the podium. But I always, my first sentence is always something respectful along the lines of, it's an honor to be here. I remember that my first time there was a real education learning curve, a fast learning curve, because it's like driving a Chevy, which I used to have when I was at Rice University, and then driving a Ferrari. And you can't drive them the same way. You need to put quite a bit less effort into a Ferrari to make it do things which a Chevy can't. And you have to approach them in a different way. So I had done my homework. I'd spoken to conductors who had conducted the Chicago Symphony, and I'd learned that if I said less and showed more, that would be what the musicians would prefer, because if you speak, you might be wasting their time. You might say something they already know. You might say something that you could actually show with your hands or in the baton and save saying it. So it's about using the time wisely. And, of course, this was a concert that only had one rehearsal.
Mm.
And so I really had to show it. And I was I did well enough on those levels and with my preparation that I've been back to Chicago. I think I've done well over 30 concerts with them over the years.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Since that first one.
You said earlier that an orchestra at that level is going to work one way and perhaps have one attitude towards their music director, and I think you actually said they might work harder for the music director. Do you think that's literally true?
Well, I think if we can look at the situation, a music director of an orchestra has the ability to fire or hire a player, and therefore could be more of a threat or more an influence or just more of a boss than a guest conductor could. It's kind of like when you were at school and your fourth grade teacher was away and you had a guest a visiting teacher to take the day or to take a class. You know, at the school I went to, we would run all over that guest teacher because we knew that the discipline wasn't the same because that person would be gone tomorrow or the next day. Now orchestras don't tend to run over guest conductors, at least I hope they don't, and they haven't. No one's really sort of run over me, and I'm grateful for that. But it's the same sort of shift, I think. The guest doesn't have the power that, if that's the right word at all, that a boss, a music director, does. And so we can just be a little bit more relaxed from the beginning and yet still hold ourselves to high musical standards.
And that may, I mean, just because they're having... I think you said they might be having fun with the guest conductor. That doesn't necessarily suggest that they'll give a lackadaisical performance. They could still give an exhilarating performance, partly because they're having fun, I imagine.
Well, you see, a guest conductor might inspire the orchestra in different ways than the music director does. So in the best of circumstances, you know, we're all helping each other. As a guest, I'm helping the music director grow the repertoire and the abilities of the player and their expression of music. And, of course, the musicians, of course, can still be having fun and enjoying working with the music director when he or she is there.
So where have been your own music directing experiences thus far?
I have had several music director experiences when I was younger, including my own choir when I was living in England and also a community orchestra while I was at Rice University, studying there for 3 years, doing my master's in orchestral conducting. And I have been, since my two positions with top orchestras, assistant with Cincinnati and then associate conductor with Seattle, I have just been guest conducting. So I have not had a professional music director position yet.
I'm talking with Alistair Willis, who is guest conductor, speaking of his guest conducting, with the Illinois Symphony Orchestra this week. Actually, the Symphony Orchestra a couple weeks ago, the Chamber Orchestra this week. He is in pursuit of the music directorship of the Illinois Symphony, one of the candidates this year serving as guest conductors, his concerts this weekend, Friday and Saturday. The program includes two pieces by Mozart, sung with the orchestra by soprano Anya Matanovic, and I thought I'd give a sample of one of those. It's the movement called Et Incarnatus Est from the C minor Mass of Mozart. We'll hear it sung here by, and I should have identified first which of the sopranos it was. I forgot to do that. I believe that it's Arlene Auger. I'll correct that in a little bit if that's a mistake. Music by Mozart here on Live and Local. Music from Mozart's Mass in C minor, one of his rather more famous incomplete works. That movement actually reconstructed by Helmut Eder in this performance given by members of the Berlin Philharmonic conducted by Claudio Abbado. And the recording actually doesn't identify which of the sopranos sings what piece. However, I think that was Barbara Bonney rather than Arlene Auger. Somebody may know better and correct me, but I think that's the case. That's one of the pieces that will be performed by soprano Anya Matanovic with the Illinois Chamber Orchestra this Friday and Saturday night in Springfield and Bloomington, respectively, under the baton of Alistair Willis, who is a candidate for the music director there. And I've been talking with him here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. The conversation was I actually had with him yesterday, and among the questions that I asked him were, given that he has guest conducted some really famous orchestras, why would he be interested in a music directorship at all? Why not just continue to guest conduct, and then why specifically the Illinois Symphony Orchestra?
You know, that is a great question. I've been asked that quite a bit since I've been here. Why the Illinois Symphony? And there are many important factors that you need to be able to see to be able to answer that. And as a guest conductor, when I go someplace, as I'm quite experienced at doing, you know, you start at square one with an orchestra and you work through the four rehearsals, through to the concerts, and you get to, let's say, square 10 or whatever level you've got to. And then you leave. And if you're lucky to be reinvited, as I am quite a lot, you come back a year later or 2 years later, and you're back at square one, or maybe one and a half. And over the years, you know, maybe I've been back to some orchestras 7 or 8 times, and that's always great. And we know each other well now. We can start at square two or square three. But the pull of being a music director for me at this stage is to be able to have a relationship with an orchestra that isn't just for 1 week a year or every other year, is to be more consistent and is to help grow that orchestra and ask them to help me grow too, so that we can build from step one at my first week, but then by the end of the season, you know, we're all starting from step five or six. We get to know each other. We have our expectations of each other, and we can grow and we can build something that is going to be more lasting and more meaningful. And to put this in a bigger context, it's a relationship with a community, and the musicians and the schools and the universities and the patrons, and to have a unified vision, let's say with the board as well, for 5 years, to have that vision and then to achieve it. There's nothing more satisfying than that, as when it comes to considering what a music director can contribute to a situation, an orchestra. And I haven't had that experience, and I long to have that experience. And why Illinois? Well, first of all, the most important thing is that you have great players, and the orchestra is wonderful, and that attracts me. We could stop the answers right there. The orchestra is great. But also the community is great. I have been enjoying meeting your wonderful patrons, going into your schools and the universities, and there's such a deep love and respect and care for music. So you add these together, great orchestra, great care, great things in place to grow, and the potential is huge. I think that's quite a compelling answer as to why Illinois.
And how about the in-between steps of your experience with the Cincinnati Symphony? You were assistant conductor there and then associate conductor with the Seattle Symphony for a few years. How does the role differ in those two situations compared with music director versus guest conductor?
Well, it's similar to the guest conductor status, being an assistant conductor, except you are a resident guest conductor, I guess, is how I would see my role as associate or assistant conductor. And it's the same reasons in that when the concerts that I did in Seattle and Cincinnati, I came to the podium with no threat to the orchestra. I was a guest. I mean, this really was it was a lovely relationship that we had together, in that we were helping each other grow, I think. And I loved my time at Cincinnati and Seattle, and these were very, very important learning curves for me. But of course, it's like being in someone else's nest. I was in the music director's, you know, house, so to speak, and it's time to fly from the nest and to find one's own nest, and that's what I'm doing.
Is there a certain amount of education that goes on from the music director in those situations, or is it really he does his job and then you do your job and you don't come together that much?
It depends. I mean, my job as assistant was to cover and to be there for all of the rehearsals of the music director and the guest conductors in both the orchestras. And each music director is different with how much hands-on or helping of the career and the musical development of the assistant conductor. And I had wonderful relationships with all the music directors there and the conductors.
Let me ask you one other quick question, which is actually does have to do with your concerts here this weekend with the Illinois Symphony. We are talking with Alistair Willis, who's guest conducting and is music director candidate. Since I've asked the other guys this so far, and it has been guys so far, there is one girl, so to speak, coming up later in the search. How did you pick this particular program, granting that the one you did with the symphony was for a big orchestra, the one this week is with the chamber orchestra in a much smaller group?
Right. Well, programming is a passionate subject, and all conductors love talking about programming. With the big orchestra, all the candidates were given the soloist and the concerto that the soloist was going to play, and we all came up with a program around that. And this was presided over by Kenneth Kiesler, who was able to see everybody's desires and wishes and hopes, and he was able to juggle things around and make sure we were able to get as close to what we wanted as we could, bearing in mind what everybody else is doing, what's been done in the past, etc. So that was a fun experience to work through that. But with the chamber program, there were really no such restrictions, or I wasn't given my soloist, for example. That's not a restriction. I wasn't. There were no boundaries. I could really suggest whatever I wanted to. So I did my homework, as you'd imagine, and I looked at the last 10 seasons of programming that have happened for the December Chamber Orchestra concert, and I discovered that pretty much every year for the last 10 years, you guys have been listening, have been used to hearing The Messiah by Handel. And, of course, I'm thinking, wow, I would love to do The Messiah. I love The Messiah, and let's do that. Then there was one small snag. There's no chorus here at the moment, and that makes it slightly tricky to do The Messiah if you don't have a chorus.
Unless you're going to overdub yourself.
Well, that might take a while to record. So I came up with some pieces of music which I love, which I'm passionate about, and actually they all have some interesting connection to the season that we're in right now, this festive season. I don't want to say too much more than that, because during the concert itself, I'm going to share some thoughts about the music, and we're going to look in detail at a couple of the pieces and explore that together during the concert. So I don't want to say too much and have people think that they know everything before they come. They might well know everything, but hopefully I'm going to find some little interesting things that will help the audience engage in the concert and the journey that we're taking with these composers.
Well, the concert will begin Friday, Saturday in Springfield and Bloomington, respectively, with Handel's Water Music, and then featuring soprano Anya Matanovic in Mozart's Et Incarnatus Est from the C minor Mass, and also his Exultate Jubilate, a wonderfully joyous work, and then this beautiful Siegfried Idyll of Richard Wagner. And the piece that we're going to play a little bit from in just a few seconds here, Respighi's Trittico Botticelliano, or Botticelli Triptych. And we've been talking with Alistair Willis, guest conductor with the Illinois Chamber Orchestra this week, the concert Friday, Springfield's St. Agnes Church, and then Saturday, Bloomington's Second Presbyterian Church. Appreciate your talking with us very much, and best of luck with your candidacy.
Thanks, Kevin.
That was the first of the three Botticelli pictures from the Trittico Botticelliano, which is saying the same thing, really, by Ottorino Respighi. I mean, a performance by the Lausanne Chamber Orchestra conducted by Jesus Lopez Cobos. Jesus Lopez Cobos had been music director of the Cincinnati Symphony at roughly the same time, and that was one of the that was an orchestra which our my interviewee of this first part of our show today, Alistair Willis, was assistant conductor of early in his career, and I thought that was kind of an appropriate connection, given especially that piece will be on the concerts by the Illinois Chamber Orchestra this weekend, Friday night in Springfield, Saturday night in Bloomington. Alistair Willis conducting. He's one of the music director candidates for the Illinois Symphony and Chamber Orchestra. For more information on the series and the various music director candidates, you can go to ilsymphony.org. It's Live and Local on FM 90.9. Our program is made possible today by Champaign-Urbana Ballet, presenting a holiday tradition, The Nutcracker, with Sinfonia da Camera at Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, December 2nd through the 4th. Tickets are available at krannertcenter.com or 333-6280, and that's the 217 area code. We also have support from Radio Maria in downtown Champaign, along with their dinner menu. Tapas is served every evening until 2 a.m. Lunch is also served on Friday from 10:30 to 2:30, and brunch on Saturday and Sunday. Information on menus and wine and beer lists are at RadioMariaRestaurant.com. Coming up next on our show, Barbara Zachow, who's conductor of the Parkland Chamber Singers. They are giving a concert jointly with the Chancel Ringers of First United Methodist Church in Champaign at Parkland Theater Saturday night at 7 o'clock. Among the choral pieces on the program is this one by Tomás Luis da Victoria. Magnum Mysterium, mysterious, of O Great Mystery, I guess is what that means. Tomás Luis de Victoria, Spanish composer of the Renaissance era, in a performance by the wonderful male ensemble from San Francisco, based in San Francisco, Chanticleer, heard here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. That piece will be among the music on a concert on Saturday night at Parkland College Theater at 7 o'clock by the Parkland Chamber Singers with the Chancel Ringers, which is a handbell choir from First United Methodist Church in Champaign. The director of the Parkland Chamber Singers is Barbara Zachow, and she's with me on this portion of Live and Local. Thank you for joining us, Barbara.
Thanks for having me.
It's been a while since I've seen you. Chorus doing well?
We're having lots of fun, and Chamber Singers are working very hard. They come in with a great attitude.
There are how many choirs at Parkland currently?
There are two choruses that people can take for credit. You can also take those for non-credit as a community member.
And is this, for lack of a better term, the elite of the two? Often the chamber
this
singers
is the auditioned
implies that.
Group.
Okay, that's the
auditioned group. Parkland Chorus, which is the other group, we do voice checks, but there's no formal audition.
And do you direct that group also?
Yes, I do. I do. There's also Parkland Pops, which is directed by Brian Hagee, who also works at Developmental Services Center. But that's not something you can take for credit. It's not technically a class.
It's just something people can do for fun.
Right.
Which a lot of people do, I'm sure, in both the Chamber Singers and the Chorus.
Oh, yes.
As well. And it's the credit is if you choose to take it, I suppose.
Or if you need it for your music degree.
One or the other. So the Pops are actually giving a concert Saturday as well.
They are. Their concert begins at 1 o'clock. It's also in the theater. And the title of that concert is Summer in Winter.
Oh, well, now that sounds intriguing.
It is. They're a special group.
Do you know how that title comes about? Do you have enough detail to
Able to say? What I have heard is that they wanted summertime and summer nights, and there are a few wintry favorites.
Well, that sounds reasonable to me. I mean, now that we're finally getting hit with cold weather that Well, appears that it's going to stay more or less, although on Saturday it looks like we'll be up in the 50s again.
They're getting summer and winter.
It just
fits.
That's right, or at least fall and winter anyway. So your program is really a joint concert between yourselves, the chamber singers, and the chancel ringers.
Correct.
Not to be confused with any chancel singers.
Correct, although some may sing, but they're going to ring.
They are going to ring.
At this particular concert.
Will you sing and ring together, or are you entirely separate for this concert?
We are singing and ringing Jingle Bells together. We felt that that would be very appropriate, and we're going to ask the audience to join us also. So that's our concluding number, and that should be a lot of fun.
That seems, highly appropriate, to say the very least. So what are the singers doing? I know you're doing several sets.
We're doing several sets. We try to do music from various styles and various periods. The singers are doing a piece in Hebrew, Matovu, and they're also doing some songs in German. They're singing Rudolph in Latin. That's a kind of tongue-in-cheek joke among the members.
As in Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer?
As in Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Because I make them, many of the people in this group are students, and I try to expose them to many different singing languages. And so this was sort of a joke of, well, you're going to do some more Latin. Here's Latin.
Did you have to translate Rudolph into Latin, or is this an existing piece?
There are several existing translations, so I tried to pick the one that I thought was the best, not being a Latin scholar myself.
Well, that certainly sounds like fun, and I assume it's treated that way,
musically
speaking.
Yes.
Well, one of the languages that you sing, in addition to Latin, and you mentioned that one tongue-in-cheek, but the beautiful one we just heard a little bit ago, Omanium Mysterium, is in Latin. But you also do German, some music of Johannes Brahms. You also do English. You're doing
yes,
In the
English
Still of the
good.
Night. And this one is called, the translation of the Brahms title, In Stiller Nacht, is essentially In the Still of the Night, but it's a different kind of In the Still of the Night.
This is true. The Brahms piece is about the still night that brings sadness and quietness and being one with the stillness of the night. Later on in the concert, we're doing a barbershop arrangement of In the Still of the Night, the more popular version by Fred Paris, and that's about love.
Well, here is the Brahms song. We only had either solo or instrumental versions in our studio here of the Fred Paris song. This is a performance by a wonderful choir, the RIAS Chamber Choir. Marcus Creed is the director here on Live and Local. You can hear this on the concert live by the Parkland Chamber Singers Saturday night in Champaign. Music by Johannes Brahms, In Stiller Nacht, In the Still Night, in a performance here by the RIAS Chamber Choir, led by Marcus Creed, and the text goes like this. In the still of night at the first watch, a voice began to lament. The night wind sweetly and gently bore the sound to me. With bitter grief and sorrow, my heart brimmed over. I sprinkled all the little flowers with pure tears. That's the first verse. There's a second one as well, and it's as beautiful. And that piece will be sung by the Parkland Chamber Singers under the direction of Barbara Zachow on Saturday night at Parkland College Theater at 7 o'clock. Reminder that the Parkland Pops will give a concert there at 1 o'clock and that the Parkland Chamber Singers will be joined on their concert Saturday evening by the Chancel Ringers of First United Methodist Church. Barbara, how do you decide with whom to partner? Because you often do partner concerts
we
with
do.
Chamber singers.
It I don't know. It just happens. Often we'll have choirs that ask if they want to collaborate with us. We have various people in our choruses who are also involved in other groups, and sometimes that fosters collaborations. Sometimes we also collaborate with other Parkland groups. And I was looking for someone to join us on this concert, and my thought behind it was that we often ask if we can please have a concert at First United Methodist Church in Champaign because they're supportive about letting us use their sanctuary. And I thought, we have a concert scheduled in the theater. Maybe we should invite them to our place for once to collaborate. And that's how it happened. We're looking forward to future collaborations also. Next semester, we're planning on collaborating with a dance group in town on one of the concerts in March. And
how will that work?
We will do sections separately, and we're trying to figure out if we can reasonably get it so that we can sing and they can dance at the same time, that we can find a piece of music that will work, at least one that will work together. Otherwise, their solution to it is that they're going to make us get up and dance with them.
Oh, that's what they think, huh?
Uh-huh, that's what they think. So we'll see how that goes.
And this is what kind of dance group?
English country dancers.
Well, you have a better chance doing that than,
yes,
say, if it
ballet.
Were ballet. Yeah.
Yes, yes.
I want to see you up on toe shoes, Barbara. Oh, have you
thank
ever done
you.
That?
Thank you. No, I have
no,
not.
No, you haven't. Okay.
I broke my ankle in September, and so right now I'm learning how to stand on my toes. I don't think toe shoes are in the picture for a little bit.
Well, then it was smart to partner with the country dancers.
Yes.
You know, I found a recording here. If you don't mind, I'm going to sort of do double pitch here for double coverage for your concert, and also for another separate handbell concert that is happening in our listening area, if folks want to just hear handbells. I don't know if they're going to have anybody else in their concert or not. But since you mentioned Jingle Bells with handbells, which you'll be doing with the chorus and the choir, Bells in Motion in Basin Springfield happens to have their Christmas concert the next day. So these are not competing events, Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock. But I happen to have them from their CD here that is, I think it's, well, I don't know what it's called here. Oh, Bells in Motion, Sleigh Bells. We're not going to play Sleigh Bells. I'm going to play Jingle Bells, since you mentioned that. And that will be on the program with the Parkland College, Parkland Chamber Singers, Saturday night. This group is Bells in Motion right here. Thank you. that segues into Sleigh Ride from the CD called Sleigh Bells, performed by Bells in Motion, the Handbell Ensemble based in Springfield. They're going to be giving a concert on, I just lost the page here, at First United Methodist Church in Pena, Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock. And the jingle, a different setting of Jingle Bells will be performed by the Chancel Ringers of First United Methodist Church of Champaign. However, not at First United Methodist Church. They're going to be on the same concert with Parkland Chamber Singers at Parkland College Theater in Champaign, Saturday night at 7 o'clock. Hope we haven't confused you on all of those points. But at the risk of confusing you more, or just if you've got to get your pencil handy, here's some other concerts that are going on at Parkland in the coming week.
Okay, these are all Parkland groups. The very first one isn't at Parkland. It's actually at New Horizon United Methodist Church, and that is on Sunday, December 4th at 6 o'clock. It's the Parkland Wind Ensemble, and they're collaborating with the New Horizon music team. Then you get a day off, Monday's off, and then Tuesday night at 7 o'clock in the Parkland Theater, there's a holiday concert. It's an evening of jazz. It's the Parkland Big Band, the Parkland Dixieland Band, and the Parkland Guitar Ensemble. That will be a relaxed time to take a break from the hustle and bustle of the holiday season and just kick back and enjoy some Christmas tunes.
So that was on Tuesday.
That's on Tuesday. Then on Thursday, in the Parkland Theater at 7, there is an instrumental holiday, which is the Parkland Orchestra and the Parkland Concert Band. Also on Thursday at 7:30 is when the Parkland Singers join Champaign-Urbana Symphony Orchestra for their concert at Krannert.
Oh, so Parkland's competing with itself sort of at the same night.
sort of. But both will be good. So sure. There are many things to choose from.
Certainly this time of year. Well, thanks, Barbara Zachow, for letting us know about those things and for coming in to talk about the Chamber Singers' own concert, which is Saturday night, 7 o'clock, with the Chancel Ringers. And best of luck with all of those things.
Thank you very much.
It's Live and Local on FM 90.9. We have sport today from Radio Maria in downtown Champaign, along with their dinner menu. Tapas is served every evening until I read that one earlier. Sorry about that. This is the one I wanted to read. We have support from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wines, beers, and spirits for the serious collector to the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are held on Saturdays from 3 to 6:30 p.m. in the Bouvon Wine Bar. More information is available at thecorkscrew.com. This is 90.9 WYL FM and HD Urbana, with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music, and more for Central Illinois. WYLL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. It's 42 degrees, coming up on a minute past 1 o'clock. For Live and Local, I'm Kevin Kelly. Have a great day.